Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbore and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place.
Hello and welcome back to Happy Hour, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us here on 92.9 WBPM with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. I am Frankenberry, and we're back again for another show. And hello, ladies. I hope we're doing all right, and we survived the snow, the nor'easter.
Yeah, I mean, we're all here. Yeah, I mean, but you know, I'm one of those people, like, I don't dig the snow so much. Like, an occasional snow day is fine with me. But I mean, we do live in New York in February. I mean, you know, it's not like surprise, right? I mean,
right,
it's gonna happen.
Yeah, it does happen. So Jonna, right before we went on, you were telling me something that actually surprised me a little bit. You shoveled?
I did, but I'm going to be honest with you. I wanted to shovel the mess earlier this week because to me, it was a form of exercise. And I feel like, you know, kind of being holed up in my parents' basement for the last 4 months, I haven't exercised as much as I normally would for some reason. And so, oh, speaking of, not to get off, I don't want to get off on this subject. Have you guys heard of a new product?
Well, you are.
Yeah, but I am. Because I'm like, you know, shiny object. It got my attention. Have you heard of a new product called the Tonal? This is almost like, well, Carol, you guys, both of you know that I am very partial to as seen on TV type stuff.
Yes.
And this new product is like an Uber version of an as seen on TV piece of exercise equipment. Have you heard of it?
Nope.
No, I mean, I've seen some of the other things on TV. What's the one that's kind of a mirror? Some other things that are basically just trying to be, you know, new versions of whatever the hip thing was. But Tonal sounds almost familiar, but not quite.
So I've seen that mirror too. So anyway, if you guys want to know what we're talking about here, there's a product called the Tonal, and it is a piece of exercise equipment that gets hung on the wall. It's pretty big, and it kind of looks like one of those newfangled exercise mirrors, which I think the mirrors are supposed to be like a live coach maybe looks at you through the mirror, which is a little creepy, and you kind of exercise that way, which became big right when we were on lockdown and we needed alternatives to gym. So this is different from that. This is, it goes on the wall like that and it is big. You need a little bit of space for it, but it actually, this is really cool if it works because it hasn't arrived yet. It replaces free weights with magnets so that you can, it's got like two arms that you can buy for it. So let's just say you want to do a bench press, right? You have no actual weights inside the machine, around you, on the floor, taking up space that you have to switch on and off a dumbbell or barbell, whatever. It all works internally via magnets. So you can set it for the weight that you want, and the magnets will offer that level of resistance. Mm. Yeah. So I'm curious. I mean, it really can. It's a space saver, obviously. And I do think, you know, there are some things from this pandemic that I think will never go back to the way it was. And I think some people have realized that maybe working out from home is easier, cheaper, I don't know, better. Now, you know, I like going to a gym, don't get me wrong, but I think some of these products that are coming out because of the pandemic will probably be here to stay. And if this Tonal works, and I'll give you guys a review once I get it, it could be one of those things. Cause I like rolling out of bed and working out. I don't want to have to brush my hair, my teeth, get in the car, you know, anything like that. So this could be right up my alley.
Yes, and it could be.
It was a gift.
Okay.
So, yeah. So that's an added bonus.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You didn't order it yourself and it didn't come with a free
set of knives? Who buys somebody else's exercise equipment? That's a That's a risky thing.
Somebody who responds to me saying, hey, this would make a great gift for me. Hint, hint.
Oh. All right, then.
There you go. So as opposed to what Carol was thinking, it's not somebody out of the blue saying, hey, girl, I love you, but boy, you should work out.
No. And it wasn't like a surprise. It was specifically requested. Yes.
But understood. So now you're going to help me tie in what this has to do with shoveling, because we started to talk about shoveling.
Yes.
I was surprised you were out shoveling. I was going to ask if you actually, do you own boots? Did you wear snow boots?
You are really funny. You're really cruising right now. You know that? You're cruising. As a matter of fact, I got boots for Christmas as well. And what this has to do with shoveling is, to me, shoveling was a form of exercise. So I actually wanted to do it earlier this week. And I did do it. I did do a little. And then I also did a little magic with a thing called a snow joe. Anybody?
What?
Anybody else got a snow joe?
No.
Oh my God. What is wrong with you people? Snow joe.
We're so missing out, Carol.
You really are, because this is a life changer. You know what? I'm not even going to tell you what it is. I'm not even going to tell you what the snow joe is.
Maybe
I'm going to tell you where I got it, and you're going to look it up.
Maybe you should have told me about it before we got 2 feet of snow. But go ahead. Please tell me what a snow joe is.
All right. Well, if you really want to know, a snow joe, which you can get on QVC, is basically a mini handheld snow blower, which is amazing. Like, it makes shoveling snow effortless, and it's not too heavy, and it's got a battery that you recharge, and you just whip it out and start snow joeing away. And before you know it, you got a nice clear path. You got a nice clear deck. You feel like you've accomplished something. And then you just plug the battery back in and go have your hot cocoa. It's awesome. So anyway, but so now we're on the topic of shopping. So let me add one little thing, because this was irritating me this week. And I know.
Oh, we are?
I know. Okay. No, not you. I know that people are tired of hearing about my reno project, but this is a little bit of an offshoot on that. Like, because when you renovate your home and you add space to it, you now have to shop for things to put in the home. And I learned something this week that I wasn't really privy to. And this may come as a shock, because it kind of came as a shock to me. So the precursor to what happened is, I have been shopping for, I don't need a lot. I don't have to buy a lot for this home reno, but I need to buy something. And kind of a few of the things are a little bit on the big side, just in terms of like a table and a couch. So I'm not talking about a vase or a paperweight. So there was one area of this reno that I need to put a table in, but not too big, not too small, and it has to fit in with the whole new motif of my home. So I got to tell you something. I am like a heat-seeking missile when it comes to finding just the right piece for just the right place. And so I have been, I'm not even lying when I tell you, I have been shopping for weeks for this particular table. Now, that said, I have shop tables on the high end. I have shop tables on the low end. I have shop tables that are new. I have shop tables that are old. I have shopped in my parents' house for a table that they might not miss were I to remove it when I move out of here. Right. I have done it all, guys. Done it all. I settled on a table, and instead of hitting send on the buy button, and it was kind of expensive, somehow, some way, I ended up finding the perfect table for dirt cheap at, of all places, Walmart online. Yeah. I know. So I'm like, wow, well, wait a minute. This is like a little sign from the heavens, because I shop till I drop. I'm going to spend a fraction of what I was going to spend. This table is perfect. Let me buy this table from Walmart. Yay. I'm happy. I buy this table. Now, the next thing I know, my phone starts ringing with 800 numbers. And I'm like, we hate the phone. We hate the, right? So I don't answer phone calls from people that I know, let alone 800 numbers. Well,
this
guess
is true.
Guess who was calling me? Guess.
Walmart.
Right. But guess why Walmart was calling me?
Hmm.
You want to guess?
Credit declined?
Nope.
Table's not available.
No, that would have made sense. They needed to verify the purchase. Now, when did that become a thing that you can't buy one item that's, I'm going to tell you, it was under $250, guys. One item for that much, and you gotta sing for your supper. You gotta give them the last four digits of your social and prove that it's you and your credit card and describe the table. I had to describe the table.
Here's the question for you:
are you
when
sure
was the last time, if ever, that you ordered anything from Walmart?
Yeah, that was the issue, Frank and Mary.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking they just said, well, this is a first time buyer and we're just going to check to make sure.
First time buyer, long time listener. No, I've purchased a thing or two. Probably not furniture, but here's what I was thinking. I'm thinking maybe pandemic. I don't know. It wasn't a scam because I'm exaggerating. They didn't ask for my social, but they did make me describe the item that I purchased. Now, I know that if somebody hacks your credit cards, which seems to happen a lot, you know, to me anyway, you're not responsible for any fraudulent purposes. The bank or the credit company is, whatever. So these new procedures in place to make sure that somebody's not fraudulently making purchases really isn't for our benefit. Right? Because we don't get hurt really either way, except for the inconvenience of having to wait for a new credit card. It hurts the banks and the credit company. So you would think they would figure out a way, because when you buy something online, and trust me, I am a pro at this, you know, everything has to match up. You've got to put the PIN number on the card. The address has to match all. And sometimes they'll send you that verification to your cell phone and you got to put that number in. Like, you know, hello, somebody would have to hit you over the head, have access to your phone and your wallet in order to make a fraudulent purchase. I mean, I'm done with my rant. I just don't know why now, in order to buy something online, you not only have to verify who you are, get a text code, put that in before you can actually make the purchase, and then you have to follow up with a phone call to the merchant. Like, where does it end?
Actually, it's funny that you say that, because I recently went to the bank, and once a month I go to the bank and I take out my large chunk of cash for my rent. So this time I go to the drive-thru, and I've never had any issues doing this, but I go to the drive-thru this time and she says, "Do you have your cell phone with you?" And I said, "Yes." And this is after already giving them my driver's license, which you have to do every time.
Oh,
And she says, because we are going to text you a code that you are going to then reply to before we can finish this transaction.
When you were in person?
Stop. When I was in person in my car looking at her through the drive-thru window.
And they had your license.
Well, they always take your license. I mean, at least I'm accustomed to them doing that with the rent. I'm assuming maybe because it's a fairly large amount of money. But yes, they've got the license, they've got everything else. But this time around, they decided that they needed to send me a text that I could then verify that I received.
Oh my God, that's a little bizarre.
Yeah,
what if you didn't have your phone? You've got your license, you're in person, you're face to face.
Right.
And if you didn't have your phone, you wouldn't be able to cash a check to get your rent?
I guess I didn't think about that, but that's a good point. I mean, I couldn't even look at him, I think, and say, well, look at the driver's license and look at my mug. Okay, that's me. I've been here before. I've walked into this bank in person. I'm just doing it this time round through the drive-thru.
Now,
all right. I have an idea what's going on here. I'm guilty of something. You just said it before, Jonna. I don't like to talk on the phone, even to my friends. I'm not a phone person. Nope. So I guard my cell phone number like my life. Mm-hmm. And so often when, like, maybe it's a grocery store. Well, never mind. Bad example for you. Frankie Berry. Like, if you have a grocery store card, like, to get the sales stuff or whatever.
Yes.
And they'll, like, ask for your phone number. I always give a wrong number. But I consistently give the same wrong number, like an old number I used to have.
Oh, smart.
So it could be that this, oh God, please. So Frankie Berry, this could be a way of the banks trying to get people's information updated that they don't have, like if they owe money or something. I don't know.
Well, I mean, they've got my phone number.
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe it's I don't know then. All right. That's all I got.
I didn't give them the phone number, I don't think. I think she just called me, so she knew it. I mean, it's part of my file.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay, then I don't know. Scratch that.
But think about this. If you're, like, I don't know, somebody who doesn't want to use a cell phone, can you not cash a check at your bank where your money is with your face and your driver's license alone? Have we come to that as a society? I mean, really?
I don't know. I mean, look, I know there's another branch of this bank that I can walk into, and they change things around a little bit. And now basically the bank is just two ATMs and a couple of employees, and that's it. There's no more drive-through at this particular one. And there's one ATM where you can get the $200, and there's another where you can get up to $3,000. So I don't have an issue there. But if I can use a drive-through instead of going into a place in person, I'm going to.
Oh, yeah.
Especially now.
Right.
Right. Especially now. I don't know. I mean, on the one hand, I get it because people have figured out how to hack into our lives in ways we could never imagine. The more technologically advanced we become, the more hacking, yep, I guess, seems to happen. And, you know, and as long as we, the consumer, aren't on the hook, you know, I guess we're like, you know, we poo-poo it. But somebody's going to be on the hook. Somebody's going to pay for that kind of thievery. I remember not that long ago, it was around Christmas time, and a package arrived at my office for an expensive item that I did not order. And it turned out that somebody hacked my credit card number. I don't think it was me personally. I think they get these numbers and then they, you know, buy whatever they think they can get away with. And it arrived at my office because they sent the package to the billing address that was on file. And I called this company. I said, I didn't order, you know, this video game. And it turns out I didn't. So then I had to get a new credit card and blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's crazy. Who's got this kind of time, honestly?
Well, yeah, it's funny that you say that, because my sister, my mother lives with my sister now. And my mother's got some issues, cognitive issues these days. And so apparently not too long ago, somebody opened up a Discover card in my mother's name and deposited $4,000 from it into a Chase account.
Wow.
Now, my mother has a Chase account, but my sister checked with the bank and the bank went through all her statements and no $4,000 deposits were made. And but yet these folks at the credit card, they won't let up and they keep charging my mom for this $4,000. So, so now I have to pick up the ball.
He's like
you said, Jonna. I mean, look, my sister's done everything that you can do. You know, she's gone to the fraud department of this particular card and she's worked with them. But apparently they're not following through as a fraud department should, I imagine. But when you talked about not having the time for it, that's when my sister got in touch with me and she said, please, dude, can you pick this up for me and follow through on it? And I said, sure, one less thing on your plate, Beck. But yeah, it is very time consuming and it can be kind of maddening and crazy.
Oh, yeah.
So they opened up a new card, Frankenberry?
Yeah. Somebody opened up a card in my mom's name and took out $4,000 from it. And, you know, and I want to call these people.
$4,000 cash advance.
Yep. And I just want to say simply, guys, my mother doesn't have the capacity right now anymore to open up a new card. She wouldn't even know how.
Right. Wow. You know,
so, but yeah, I understand how maddening it can be. And it is the world we live in, sadly. And it is very time consuming. I'm not looking forward to the phone calls I have to make to help my sister out. But, I'll make them.
It's just nuts. Wow. It just really, that's why someone else off the grid.
Yeah. I was just actually watching a show last night about off the grid. But you know what else is maddening? And I think a lot of people can relate to this now, especially during the pandemic, is how many people have put on extra weight.
Ugh.
Right?
She is the queen of non sequitur segues. Oh, yeah.
Carol Pesci.
Okay, you're welcome. All right. So we have coming up as a guest today, someone who has done what I think many people would want to do. Maybe not this. She lost a whole person. Coming up, we're going to be talking with Hazel Dixon Cooper. She is, she was on the show years ago. She used to be the astrologer for Cosmo magazine, but she lost 122 pounds. And she has written a book about it to help us understand how she did it. And it's called Confessions of a Fat
Cosmo Girl. So when we come, I know, I love the title. When we come back, we are going to be talking with Hazel Dixon Cooper. So if losing weight is something you've wanted to do and not been successful, stick around and let's find out how she did it.
All right. That sounds good. You're listening to Happy Hour. You've got Jonna Spilborn and Carol Pesce and myself, and we will be back with our guest that Carol was just telling you about. And segment number two is on the way. So please don't go nowhere. Stick with us.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
Carol Pesce and myself, and it's segment number two, which of course means that we get to whoever our guest is this week, and we have Hazel Dixon Cooper to talk with us about her latest book and what it was that she did that caused her to write the book.
So anybody listening right now, do you have you put on a few extra pounds or more than a few extra pounds during the pandemic? I think a lot of us can relate to that. So you're going to want to stick around and listen to this. We have on the line with us Hazel Dixon Cooper, and she has just released her latest book. She was on our show years ago for, I think, a book was called Work on a Rotten Day. She's just released a book called Confessions of a Fat Cosmo Girl, How I Lost 122 Pounds and Kept It Off, and How You Can Too. She was once described by a book reviewer as, quote, funnier and franker than your best friend after three drinks. And in my world, that would be Jonna. she spent almost 9 years advising the readers of Cosmopolitan magazine about love, money, life, and astrology, yet she couldn't fix her own life. Now, after losing and keeping off 122 pounds, along with considerable emotional baggage, she is an integrative nutrition, health, wellness coach, and author committed to helping others change their lives. Hazel, welcome back to our show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to hear your voice again and to be on the show. It's my pleasure.
Oh, love it. Hazel, you have done something that millions of people want to do, have tried to do, have failed at doing. You lost, and I'm not saying everybody wants to lose 122 pounds, but a lot of people want to lose weight. Tell us the backstory here. You talk about losing not only weight, but the emotional baggage. So tell us the backstory, how this came about.
Well, when I was working for Cosmo, I wrote my first astrology book in 2003, and that led to Cosmo hiring me to write The Bedside Astrologer. And so for about 10 years, I was writing books. I was working for Cosmo. I was also working a full-time day job and taking care of my family. And I am, most people I think are emotional eaters. They eat, you eat when you're happy, you eat when you're sad, you eat when you're stressed, we eat in this country to celebrate everything from birth to death. And we usually have every day, every week, you can have several days of let's celebrate something. And how do we celebrate it? We celebrate it with food. And I was the same way. And then we run to a commercial weight loss program, everything from Weight Watchers to over the counter, Slim Fast or Atkins or South Beach or Nutrisystems to lose the weight. So we're just in this awful circle. And I was in this awful circle of stuffing my face. I mean, the day that I got notified that from my publicist at Simon & Schuster that Cosmo wanted to audition me for the Bedside Astrologer column and the editor wanted to talk to me, the first thing I did was hang up the phone. I mean, my publicist had emailed me and I didn't even answer it because it came to my day job. I didn't even answer the email. I clicked off my computer screen, and this is in the book, and went into the cafeteria where I worked. I worked at an acute care hospital and got an apple fritter. And if anybody knows what an apple fritter is, it's basically just fried dough, apple, huge donut with no hole in it.
Delicious.
Apple coffee with cream and sugar and went to the window and looked out on the patio and ate that just, you know, in fear and in joy and in everything. And I'm sitting there stuffing my face. And then I'm thinking, well, you can't root for Cosmo. You know, I'm in California and Cosmo, of course, is in New York. And you can't work for Cosmo because if they ever see you, they'll fire you because you don't look like a Cosmo. You're not, you know, You're fat. I wasn't even as fat as I was going to get at that time. I was probably 50 pounds overweight, not 122. And so the story goes from there, going into this cyclic up and down Weight Watchers, LA Weight Loss, trying to lose the weight, gaining it back. And finally, the worst thing that I ever did was I was going to meet my editor at Cosmo, and he was coming out here for a conference, and I was going to be there too. And I jumped on a weight loss program, spent $1,400 on products and, you know, counseling and all of this for LA Weight Loss, which didn't work. I mean, it did then. I dropped 50 or 60 pounds and looked really good. Well, he got pneumonia and couldn't come. And the minute he got into pneumonia and couldn't come, I dumped the diet, not consciously, but emotionally. And so what I learned to do, the things that I learned was, number one, weight loss programs don't work. They thrive on us staying a repeat customer. They survive on repeat business. Because if they didn't have repeat business, if everybody went to these places and lost the weight permanently, they'd go out of business. So first of all, their bottom line is they don't teach you how to get over your sugar addiction or how to read labels and process foods and all of that. I go into all of that in the book. And I had to kind of discover that on my own. And then with the help of a very good friend who's always been ahead of me on the food scale and on the health fitness scale, I started walking. I started slowly. It took me about 3 years to get the weight off. And in doing that, it wasn't like a smooth ride, because it never is, but you have to change your attitude toward yourself and the food that you're eating, and realize that the food industry isn't any better than the weight loss industry. Because
Hazel, what was your turning point? You were 122 pounds overweight. Was there a point of pain? Was there a point of realization of what wasn't working, or and a discovery of what would work? What turned it around for you?
Well, what basically turned it around for me is I got so fat that I was always out of breath. I could barely walk upstairs without stopping, one flight of stairs without stopping a couple of times to catch my breath. My ankles always felt like they were twisting. I had shooting pains through my legs. My back ached, my neck ached, my elbows ached, because, you know, your body's not built to carry that kind of weight around. Your skeleton frame isn't. Excuse me. And then and none of these things were working for me. And I was just, every time I lost, I would lose less and gain back more. And then finally, I had a series of health issues, minor ones to begin with. But I'd always been a person who had been healthy my whole life, with no health, knock wood, no health issues at all. And within about 6 month period, I had about four or five little health issues pop up. And I finally decided that I have to start losing this weight. And I was getting older. You know, I'm not your age. I'm actually, I'll tell you my age, because I say it in the book too. I'm 73 years old now. And I
look amazing, Hazel.
Thank you. And I was 72 when that picture was taken on the back of the book. And I was 68 when that fat picture was taken, the before picture. And that's one reason that prompted me to write the book, is to say that older women who are going through, in fact, my target audience is not just, it's adult onset obesity, no matter what you are, whether you're 30 or 60 or my age, that you can do this if you put your mind to it, if you learn how to. And it's not simple. I'm not saying that it's simple. You need support. You need a person. I think the word everybody uses today is accountability partner. But you need someone who will support you unconditionally, who won't blast you if you have a backsliding day, which you will. But they will say, you know, like one of my friends that I support her, she supports me. And she called me one night. She said, oh, I ate, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I said, that's okay. You'll do better tomorrow. You won't eat that tomorrow. So don't worry about it. We'll just go forward from here. And so the thing was, I lost my husband in 2016. And after he passed away, I lost more weight, But at the same time, I had heart disease runs in my family on both sides. And so I thought, well, you know, I'm getting up there. I think I'll get to a cardiologist and see. And I found out that I had two partially blocked arteries. And that finally scared me off my butt into losing the rest of the weight and getting in shape. And I
don't tell me something. I'm sorry. I thought you were done there. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead. I just don't want other people to have to get to that point before they regain their health.
I hear you. Tell me some of the specific things someone can begin to do now. What were some of the specific changes you made in what you ate, what you didn't eat, and how you approached food? You talk about the emotional connection to getting and being overweight.
The three main things I would say as food-wise, drop soda of any kind, sports drinks included. Sodas, diet soda, regular soda, sports drinks, flavored waters, all of that stuff is terrible for you because it's nothing but chemicals, artificial flavors, and sugar or artificial sweeteners. And even the diet sodas, if you just drink one a day, you'll gain probably 7 pounds in a year. And those are going to be terrible for you. Yes, absolutely. It's in the book. Yes. And it's all over the internet.
Wow.
I did a lot of research to back up my findings. And so there's lots of research in the book too that tell you. And sodas of all kinds are linked to every kind of disease, from several kinds of cancers to heart disease, diabetes, even the diet ones. Sports drinks are no better for you. So that would be something I could say, people, cut it out. You can cut that out really easily. Go to tea, coffee, and water. If you want your water flavored, squeeze some lemon in it, squeeze some lime in it, even squeeze a little bit of orange in it, juice or grapefruit juice.
Which are anti-inflammatories anyway when you do that. I'm fortunate in that regard. I hardly ever drink soda.
Good. That's good. That's a good start. And then the
water,
second
coffee.
Thing is, yes, yeah. Water, coffee, and tea. Hot, cold, those things. And the second thing I would say is, read the labels on everything you eat. You will get an education just doing that. On every prepared food, bread, frozen dinners, canned dinners, everything you eat, everything that's called vegetarian or filled with vitamins or diet or healthy for you, most of those things are loaded with sugar and salt. And we get fooled. You get a little can of, say you get a can of vegetarian chili beans. And the food industry knows that if we see the food word on there, vegetarian, we're going to think diet. If we see filled with vitamins and minerals and healthy, you're going to see diet, when it's not necessarily diet food. We're conditioned to think that way. And when you look on the back, it'll say 110 calories. And so your mind says, 110 calories for this can and it'll fill me up. It's 110 calories a serving. And the servings are usually half a cup. So in most of those, there's 3.5 servings and you're going to get 400 something calories. You're going to get maybe 1200 grams of sodium or more. You're going to get more fat. You're going to get sugars that are hidden in there in a whole list of anything that ends with O-S-E, that's a sugar. Maltodextrose and dextrose and other things. And there are other sugars in food. But even in bread, there's sugar in bread. There's sugar in beans, foods. There's sugar in macaroni and cheese. It's terrible. And so you have to educate yourself.
Oh, don't tell me that.
And you can make, believe me, you can make a vegan mac and cheese that's fabulous, that you won't miss it. You won't miss it. And it's taste, you know, changing your tastes and changing the way you look at food and changing the way of how you celebrate. I have a chapter, Eating for All the Wrong Reasons, and it tells about my disaster with my editor I was going to meet, because when you lose weight for something else, or losing weight for all the wrong reasons, excuse me, but when you lose weight for someone else or to look good, like at a wedding or a class reunion or anything like that to meet somebody important in your life, you're not doing it for yourself. So it's not going to be permanent. And you have to change your mind to think, I'm celebrating the person. I'm celebrating the day. I'm not celebrating food, which is what we do. Because as I said in the beginning of our conversation, we are a nation of people who celebrate everything with food. And then the emotional part is that we all have what I call in the book, inner bitch in our head, even guys, and you can call him an inner bastard if he wants to, but that's the voice in the back of your head or in the front of your head that nags you all the time. You're not good enough. You're stupid. Oh, how stupid. How could I have done that? Even when you're home, even when you're alone, you do something, you drop a glass and break it. Oh, you dummy. You know?
Oh, I say it out loud. It's not in my head.
Yeah. And that is the voice that keeps you in the loop of, in the downward loop of, I call it self-abuse, because that's the voice that you fight when you are, and some of us have a minor voice that we can, oh yeah, fine and go on, and others, but many people, and I think especially obese people, and I know it was me, have that voice all the time. You're ugly, you're stupid. Nothing is good enough. You know, if anybody at Cosmo ever catches a look at your fat ass, you're going to be out of there because my editor looks like a model and he works behind the scenes in an office. So that is a voice that, and I give some very general exercises in, because I'm not a psychologist, of course, I'm just somebody that lived, you know, did this and wanted to help other people if I can, in sort of just a plain talk way. But I give some steps on how to recognize that voice. And one way to recognize it is when that voice is saying, you're so dumb. Well, that's not your voice. You don't talk to yourself. You're so dumb. That's my voice. I am not dumb. I am good. I am not clumsy. I just dropped this. Mercury's in retrograde or whatever, you know. And so you have to condition yourself to tell that voice to get lost or yell at it or cuss at it. I've yelled at it before. Just shut up. Stay off my back. I don't know who you are, but I'll find that out. And you often can trace it back to maybe a person in your childhood or a person in your younger life that was very either mean or constrictive or bossy or could be a teacher, could be a parent, could be a caregiver, could be a sibling, could be the combination of those things. But that's you have to differentiate that voice and you have to tell it, get off my back and stay off my back.
Can I challenge you for a moment? Because a lot of what you're saying is resonating with me. You know, I recently lost weight too. I didn't have to lose 122 pounds. I lost closer to 22 pounds. And it was so challenging to get to the point where I was ready to lose that weight. And I often, like, I would have that voice in my head too, but sometimes the voice in my head was me and it was justified. Like, for example, I didn't realize part of my problem with getting to the point where I was ready to lose weight is I didn't think I was the problem. Like, I couldn't lose weight because my hormones must be off, or I couldn't lose weight because, I don't know, you reach a certain age and your metabolism slows down, or I couldn't lose weight because, you know, and I had a million excuses. But when I actually finally started to lose the weight, I realized that I wasn't losing the weight before because I was having two dinners. Like, I literally would have dinner at 5 o'clock and then have another one at 9. Like, I thought eating dessert a couple times a week wasn't going to hurt me. I thought that having, you know, 6 margaritas with dinner was okay, because it was a weekend, you know. And then when I finally realized that what I was putting in my mouth was my responsibility and that was my problem, I was able to fix it. And I don't want to say that it was easy, but it's easy now. It's easy now.
You're exactly right, John. And I did the same thing. Everything that you've done, I have done. Everything you are talking about, I've done exactly the same thing. This isn't going to hurt me. I'm just having it once a week. This isn't, you know, I'm going to eat two dinners. I have a story in the book about Cosmo hired me the Monday before Thanksgiving. And we always have friends over, and we had that year we had a big well, not too many. There was like 9 or 10 of us that year, but everybody was bringing food and everybody was celebrating. And it was like, oh, I deserve this. And this is just, and you're calling two dinners. I call it my before dinner. I was eating a whole day's worth of calories while I was preparing our Thanksgiving dinner. I was nibbling this. I was nibbling that. I was drinking coffee with sugar and cream. I was, you know, all of that. And yes, with the, you know, wine with dinner and the desserts, nibbling on a dessert, you know, somebody walks in the house before dinner and they bring a big plate of cookies or a pie or whatever their contribution was. Of course, I had to sample that. And I think many people do. And the main thing about the hardest thing about it is just what you were saying too. The hardest thing about losing weight, anytime you lose weight, is making up your mind to do it. I have a hashtag, change begins in your head, not on your plate.
Yeah. Yep.
And once you do that, then it's easier and it's hard to make that change. And so the way I try to lead people to it was how I kind of stumbled on it myself, was to try to, you know, keep the negative voice away and read the labels and drop the sodas, simple steps that you can do that way. Instead of, you're not going to be able, and you can't, and one thing you have to really realize, and this is where the weight loss, all the weight loss industries, every one of them lie to us. You cannot eat anything you want and lose weight. Okay. Yes, physically you can do that. I could eat nothing but Snickers bars all day long. And if I kept it under a calorie level for my hot size and age and physical, mobility, of course I could lose weight, but that does not teach me how to eat foods that nourish my body. It does not teach me, it does not help me get out of a sugar addiction. And it doesn't, the only way you lose weight with them is by portion control. Well, yeah, if you eat a little dab of lasagna and a big salad, you're going to lose weight, but you're still getting all the fat, all the cheesy goodness of that lasagna. I had cheese and chicken were the last two things I gave up. And it was hard for me to do. But your taste change, your actual taste changes. Like when you're drinking whole milk and you go to skim milk or 2% milk or non-fat milk and you go, oh God, this is awful. Then your taste, your physical taste for that changes and you go back to drinking. You take a sip of whole milk and it tastes like, ooh, what is this stuff? So you kind of have to stick with it that way. But yes, I did everything that you did. And you're absolutely right. You have to change. Once your mind was right and you changed it, and there are ways that you can do that. And I have some of that in my book too. And I have lots of references in there for people that want to dig down deeper into, you know, it's not a really fat book and there's not a lot of instruction in it, but it's my story combined with things that you can do to help yourself. And then I have a lot of references that you can study on your own too. And I would say for people who want to try plant-based diet, and that is, it's coming, you know, there are a lot more people now with going in, you know, using plant-based diets and being on plant-based diets. If you want to try that, there are tons and tons of wonderful vegan.com, and there's Forks Over Knives is a great place to start. It's a, I don't know if you've heard of that magazine, but it's a quarterly magazine that my story was in there about a year ago. And they have all kinds of wonderful recipes. They have a Facebook page. I have a Facebook page. You can, you know, friend me on my Facebook page. My website, anybody can email me with anything. I don't charge any money. We're in the pandemic. I finished my coaching course and was contemplating whether to start an actual business with coaching or to continue writing books, the pandemic struck. And I thought, well, you know, people are losing their jobs right and left, and they're going to be eating more because they're stressed. And
my gosh,
they're right? Staying home. That's right. The quarantine 15, is that what they call it? I struggled with that. I gained a few pounds too and had to get back. And then I'm in California. So on top of the pandemic and having to be in lockdown, we had those horrible fires last summer and we couldn't walk outside because you couldn't breathe. So, but now thank goodness the air is better at least. So I can get out with my friend and walk every day. But
Hazel, you've got to be so... you've got to be so proud of yourself. I'm proud of you for what you've done. You and we're wrapping up here with Hazel Dixon Cooper. Among other things, she is the author of the very new book, Confessions of a Fat Cosmo Girl, How I Lost 122 Pounds and Kept It Off, and How You Can Too. You are going to change lives and save lives with this book, Hazel. And I congratulate you on all that you've done. So let's make sure people know, what is your website and your social media? How can people find you? How can they find your book?
Website is hazeldixoncooper.com, and Hazel Dixon Cooper on Facebook, and I'm just getting my Twitter account up, but that's also Hazel Dixon Cooper. So it's all my name.
And you can get your book on Amazon?
And you can get my book anywhere. Yes, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, anywhere that, you know, any of the online retailers, but Amazon, of course, it's on there. And
very good.
It just came out on the 26th of January.
No, great.
So I'm very excited about it. And I know that people can do it. When I talk to people, and they all have the same story. Basically, every person I talk to that writes me through my, you know, that contacts me in any way, they all have the same story. I've tried and tried and tried, and I failed and failed and failed. And,
yep.
and they all blame themselves. What's wrong with me? Why do I do this? Why can't I stop doing it? I feel so bad. I feel, you know, like a failure, and they call themselves all kinds of names. And so that's where you've got to change your head. You can do it. If I can do it, you can do it. And that's an old, old cliche. But believe me, if you had seen me stumbling around, shoving food in my face, having candy stuck in the car, in the console, in my purse, in my desk at work, in my desk in my home office, and eating that late in the night when I'm hitting a deadline or when I'm working, eating all the time. And then you see me now, and I see myself now, and I feel like I look at that before picture, and I think that sad, hopeless woman, I know it was me. I still remember what it felt like, but there's almost a little disconnect there of, you know, how did you let yourself get that way? And I feel bad for her, and I feel bad for everybody that's struggling. And I want them to know that you can change, but to change, you got to take responsibility for yourself. You can't hand it to Weight Watchers. You can't hand it to Nutrisystems or Jenny Craig or Slim Fast or Dr. Atkins or anybody, you know.
It starts with you.
That's exactly what Jana said when she took responsibility. Yes. Hazel, I love everything that you're doing. We've got to wrap up here. We're wrapping up with Hazel Dixon Cooper, author of Confessions of a Fat Cosmo Girl, How I Lost 122 Pounds and Kept It Off, and How You Can Too. Thank you for everything that you are doing to help other people and taking the time to talk with us.
Thank you for having me on the show. I love it.
All right. Take care, Hazel.
It's so good to talk to you again. Bye-bye, everyone.
Yes, thank you so much for joining us today, Hazel. And you are listening to Happy Hour here with Jana Spilbore and Carol Pesci. And we're not done quite yet. We have segment number 3 on the way. So please stick around and we'll be right back.
Live better, laugh harder, love more. This is Happy Hour with Jana and Carol on 92.9 WBPM.
And this is Happy Hour here on 92.9 WBPM with Jana Spilbore and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hello.
Frankenberry.
Frankenberry.
that one. We went backwards.
Yeah, we did take a step back on that one. But this is segment 3 for all of you that are listening. And we just had a fantastic interview where we talked with Hazel Dixon Cooper about her latest book.
Yep, Hazel Dixon Cooper, author of Confessions of a Fat Cosmo Girl. She lost 122 pounds. Can you imagine? That's a whole person.
But she was really good. And I wanted to add something because I know that people who listen to her who have a large amount of weight to lose will really, you know, resonate. But what she says applies to you, whether you've got a little or a lot to lose. Because it really does start in your head. And I'm not going to knock, like, I used Weight Watchers to help me lose the 20 plus pounds that I had to lose. So, but she's right in the sense that that was a tool for me. It wasn't the reason. Like, the reason was in my mind. And then I used that Weight Watchers app as a tool, and it worked. So they can be helpful tools, but it's got to start inside your between your ears first, for sure.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. And I definitely could understand what she was saying about, you know, taking that negative voice in your head and basically kind of yelling at it and telling it to go away, which I do, you know, quite often, except what I've done is I've just taken that negative voice in my head and I've, you know, turned it in, or I've kind of,
you made it your bitch.
Pretty much. Yes. Yes, I've turned it into basically like a little spirit or something that I can just yell at and say, go away and stop knocking crap off my kitchen counter, will you? And I also, by the way, concur when it comes to the sodas. Years ago, I used to drink a 2-liter bottle of soda every single shift when I did the overnights. And one night I just decided I couldn't do it anymore. I just didn't want to. And that's where the seltzer water started. And I unintentionally lost 9 pounds.
Wow.
And that's pretty easy. You know, that's an easy first step for anybody.
And I did change my taste.
She talks in her book about once she started cutting out toxic food, that she started dropping toxic thoughts, toxic people. Like she just, her whole life and being became cleaner.
You know, I wish we could have more time with her, because there was something that I wanted to touch on that we didn't have time to. And along those lines, I have noticed a correlation between food and mood, because I haven't quite put it together, but absolutely, I know that sometimes I could have something and I can't tell you what it would be. Like, I don't know, maybe it's dessert. And then I actually will get cranky afterwards, and I need to make that connection. I'm sure there's some books out there that I could study up on too, but that's real. I don't care what anybody says. That's real.
Oh yeah, absolutely. No doubt about it.
Yeah. I'm with you. I'm with you on that, without a doubt.
So speaking of mood, I think we can end on a high note.
Mood. Word.
All right. And hey, Carol, if we're going to end on a high note, you got any more segues for us? Just a segue to the end of the show.
Yes. Oh, no. I would be disappointing Hazel if I shared.
Okay. Or we can just go with something simple like, and you know what? Speaking of the end of the line, we're going to wrap things up here with Happy Hour this morning. And John Spielborn, Carol Pesci, and myself. No,
yeah, what? Speaking of food you shouldn't eat, yeah, let's wrap up this cheeseburger, right?
Ba-dum-boom.
All right.
Oh, yes, and that definitely puts the emphasis on cheese. Nicely done. All right.
Yeah, we'll I don't know that again. I could. Like, well, I know vegetarian's good for you. I'm not sure I could ever do away with my cheeseburgers. But anyway, okay, kids. We'll catch you next week.
We'll be back again next week. Just like Carol said there, we do it every week here at 8 o'clock on Sunday morning. So we hope that you will join us again. And thank you for joining us this morning. If you did miss this show, you know that you can get it at 929WBPM.com/happy hour. Have a good week. Make it a safe one. And we'll talk to you next Sunday. Thanks.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spielborn and Carol Pesci. If you missed last weekend's show or want to hear it again, visit the Happy Hour page at 929WBPM.com. There's more life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview next Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Live better, stress less, and laugh more with Happy Hour on 92.9 WBPM.